Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Positive Radio with your host, Charmaine Hammond. Every Saturday at 2 p.m. PST, 3 p.m. MST, Charmaine will interview four PawsUp guests in the pet world. Positive Radio brings together pet experts, authors in the pet industry, pet businesses, pet and rescue organizations, and all of us pet lovers. Charmaine is a professional speaker and best-selling author of On Toby's Terms, soon to be a major motion picture, and Toby the Pet Therapy Dog children's series. You can find out more about Charmaine's books and to inquire about her speaking at one of your events at www.ontobysterms.com. Make sure to sign up for Charmaine's blog and newsletter at www.hammondgroup.biz. Grab a notepad, pen, and get ready to take in some of the most positive stories and tips you will ever hear with Charmaine Hammond.
Well, here we are with another edition of Positive Radio. It's Charmaine Hammond. I'm your host, and I'm delighted that you've joined us to listen in. We've got a great guest on the show, Diane Birch. I'm really, really looking forward to talking with her, and she's got a delightful book. I'm already in love with it. The pictures are just stunning. Now, let me just share a little bit about Diane with all of you so you know who she is and what she is up to. She is a speaker, an author, and a storyteller, and she's a passionate animal lover and advocate. For 20 years, she was active as a business owner, creative event planner, and involved community service board member. And then in 2010, she made a life-altering decision to combine her professional skills and her passion for rescue animals. With the help of partner and co-author Michael Frederick, World of Pawsabilities, and you know how we spell that, folks, P-A-W-S, Pawsabilities, was created as a marketing and publishing firm with the mission to help raise the next generation of responsible pet ambassadors through education, entertainment, and community involvement. Maxnificent, the Polka Dot Pyrenees, is the first book in a planned series of children picture books that pair a traditional style children's story followed by related educational materials. And this is materials about shelter animals, pet responsibilities, and fun pet facts. Local rescue groups are designated to benefit wherever the books are marketed and events are planned to create more opportunities for rescue groups to be out with the public for fundraising, education, and adoptions. These mutts are on a mission. For more information, check out their website, muttmission.com. That's muttmission.com, muttmission.com. Welcome to the show, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Charlaine. It's great to meet you and great to be here with you.
Well, thanks. I kind of feel like a mom on a mission. I really enjoyed learning about you, and your website is just delightful. I can't wait to read the book, and I'm so curious. I know our listeners will be as well. Where did the inspiration come from? You left the corporate world, and you joined your passion and your business expertise to create the World of Pawsabilities. And how did the inspiration for the book come about?
Well, I have lived most of my adult life in a rural area where strays are often finding me. So over the last 25, 26 years, I've lost count, but there's almost 30 animals I know that have passed through my life, many of which stayed as my personal pets. I have the smallest number I've had in the longest recall now, which is three Great Pyrenees and, I like to say, three great cats. So I'm one of those people that animals just find me. And you reach a point, you know, where you can only have so many and take care of so many and still be giving them the quality of life that they deserve.
Yeah.
And so I would reach out to rescue groups to see if I fostered it, could they help me get this animal adopted? Because all of the fosters and rescues around here, or the rescues and shelters around here, rather, are always to capacity.
Mm.
And so, you know, just taking it somewhere was not an option. because I wanted to be sure that the animal wound up in the right situation.
Yeah.
And I was at a point in life that I thought, if I'm ever going to do something that matters to me personally and to try to make my mark in this world on something that I feel matters, now's the time.
I just love it when people combine their passion for animals and what they've done in their business, because it just creates something incredible, doesn't it?
I think so. We've only been at this about 7 months now since the book came out, and it has already been just life-changing for me in the joy that I feel. And although we're, you know, making baby steps in the world with where we hope to be going and the number of animals that we can help and the number of groups that we can help, even those small steps, I know, are making a huge difference in some animals' lives, and it's just hard to put a value on that.
Yes, I know. We're big champions as well for rescues and shelters, and like you, we've built them into our business, and we have such joy going out on book signings and speaking events and being able to support shelters in different ways, whether that's through donating money, but also creating awareness, because you've probably found this too, Diane, that so many people are not aware of the local services in their community for animals, the different shelters, the different rescues. So you're on a mission to help educate people as well, by the sounds of it.
Exactly. That was what I realized through my own experiences, is rescue groups and shelters are so busy and working with limited resources, people included, to be able to save these animals' lives and to be able to rehabilitate them and to get them fostered or get them adopted out, that the most important things that make their job easier and successful is marketing, fundraising, and getting out there in the public.
Yes.
They want to do that. They're all desperately doing it to the best of their ability, but their primary focus has to be on saving animals. And I thought, you know, that's what I can do. I can't volunteer for a rescue group because I will be trying to adopt every animal I come in contact with. It's always good to know your weaknesses.
That's right.
But I thought, I do have skills, and I have planned events for our community for many years. I have done public speaking 100 years ago, as I like to say, when I was in college. I did children's theater. And
wow.
My animals have always been my babies. So I thought, you know, I cannot write enough checks nor adopt enough animals to help in the way that I want to, but I can create opportunities that help groups get out in the public, get their name out in the public, get their information out there, and get into schools and groups, civic groups, and share their messages. And that's the best contribution that I know that I can do. And it's duplicatable in any city that I need to go to or want to go to, and the book's a great tool for that.
Yes. Oh, so true. So tell us a little about the book. I just love the cover, the pictures. You got to go on the website, folks. The website is muttmission.com, and you'll see there's just a happy, magnificent face smiling back at you. It's adorable. So tell us about the storyline of the book.
Okay, well, that was one of my rescue situations gone wrong, or did it. I'm beginning to believe it went exactly as it was supposed to in the bigger picture of life. Max was a stray, and when I brought him home, I already had 3 Great Pyrenees that had come from a very extreme rescue situation. So I had my hands full with those 3. But I couldn't leave him where he was at. I know he was in danger. So I brought him home, connected with a local rescue group. I agreed to foster him. They agreed to promote him, and we'd try to get him adopted out, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
And I initially called him Jax. The family that adopted him changed his name to Max.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was this big, long-haired, woolly dog, they thought, it's summer, we must need to shave his hair, which you really do not want to do with the Pyrenees. You can trim it down, but shaving them is not advisable. They're a double coat animal. So anyway, they had a 6-year-old boy who had 6-year-old friends, And as we all know, they don't play quietly. They play loud and rowdy, and they scream when they're happy, and they yell when they're happy, and they hit each other when they're happy. Max was concerned about his little boy's safety because Pyrenees typically will guard their flock.
Okay.
If they don't have sheep and goat as their flock, your family, your children, your cats, your hamsters, your chickens in the yard become their flock.
Right.
And so he started guarding his little boy. He would separate the loud friends or the hitting friends and make them stand against the wall. And he didn't do it aggressively, but he was just so big, he would move them with his head towards the wall and then calmly sit in front of the child until someone came to remove the child from the room. So the mom was forever finding little boys standing against walls going, he won't let me go. So they decided he had to come back. So he comes back with a new name, Max, and he comes back, not long, fluffy white hair, but bird-like spots all over his back, the bird dog kind of dots all over his back, which is not unheard of with Pyrenees, but the other three, I had seen their hair when it had to be shaved, and they had more like cow markings. So he was quite comical looking to me. And he was very sad when he didn't have his family anymore. And I would try to cheer him up by saying, "Oh, Max, you are magnificent with your polka dots." So that's where the title came from. And long story short, he ended up staying with us because I didn't want him to risk getting his feelings so hurt again. And I kept him.
Wow. It's amazing how sometimes I think these rescue and shelter pets actually pick us.
I think they do. Michael and I have said now that when I had actually come back from a trip and was visiting my brother's place of business, when I saw Max and he was just laying up under a carport at a nearby house, and I said, "Is that a Pyrenees? That's an elderly couple that lives there. Surely they did not get that great big dog." And he said, no, it's been hanging out here for about 2 weeks. And his business is on a major two-lane, heavily trafficked road.
Oh, wow.
And I knew that it was a miracle he'd been there 2 weeks and hadn't already been in the road and gotten hit, because Pyrenees are notorious for standing in roadways. So I just ended up taking him when it was definite that no one knew, you know, where he'd come from. And I decided, I think he was actually waiting there for me. I really do think so. And everyone that knows me agrees. They're like, "Oh, yeah. He wasn't hanging out there for 2 weeks. He was sent there and told to wait, and some crazy lady will be by to get you soon."
Oh, that's great. I love that. So Max is actually, as I understand it, not only is he a real-life animal, a dog, but he's also a character in the book.
He is. He's the lead character in the book. It took a little dramatic license and expanded the story from getting a haircut. We say in the story that he had flea allergies and had to have his hair shaved to cool his skin down.
Mm-hmm.
And because he lives with three other great Pyrenees that look just like him, when he discovers he has polka dots hidden underneath, he's afraid to come home. He doesn't look like his friends anymore.
Mm.
So he's afraid they're going to laugh at him. Which, of course, they don't, but, you know, that's the way that kids think. And
that's right. There's that parallel
there. There's where the story came from. But it all turns out nicely, and one of the characters is actually a blind dog, and she really was blind, Miss Boo. And she doesn't see what all of the other dogs are commenting about, but she hears what's going on and everyone's reaction to, "What happened to your hair? What are those spots? You know, you've got polka dots." And then she hears Max run and hide, so she knows he's gotten his feelings hurt.
Yeah. Right.
She very wisely and cautiously tells the other dogs, you know, listen, I'm not sure what you're talking about with polka dots, but, you know, we all have our flaws. We all have spots and dots. You just can't see yours because your hair's hiding them.
Mm.
Well, one of the dogs, Miss Libby, we think of her as our little sassy teenager. She decides, oh, no, if I've got spots, I want to see them. And so they get Lady Mom to shave their hair so they can all see their spots and show Max that he's not the only one.
Ah, wow.
And
wow.
It ends happily with Miss Boo saying, well, one thing is certain, Max. You have more dots than anybody else. Yours are tiny and unique. But that's what makes you unique, your own special design, just as we all have our own special design. But you are no longer just Max. You are Maxnificent, the polka dot Pyrenees.
Oh, I just got goosebumps when you were telling me that story. And I'm sure our listeners did. Wow.
Oh, thank you.
The parallels that you've drawn on for what children experience, and I know, folks, we're talking right now to Diane Birch, who's an incredible author, speaker, storyteller. Her website is muttmission.com, muttmission.com, and the book that we're talking about is called Maxnificent, the Polka Dot Pyrenees. And one of the things that really stood out for me, Diane, as you were sharing this beautiful story with us, is the parallels that are there for children. The book is for, really, it's ages 6 to 12, but this book is beautiful for moms and dads and grandparents and teachers to read it to children who are much younger. So really, the age span is huge. And in that age span, kids are dealing with challenges about not feeling accepted. You know, there's that, I remember for me as a little girl, and I was painfully shy, which people are always surprised to hear that now as a professional speaker and radio host, but
no, I was too.
So you can relate. And my dreaded moments were gym class, when they had to pick for the dodgeball team or the soccer game or whatever sport was being played in gym. And, you know, I would watch the numbering go, and I was not good at sports, and it would be getting down to the last five or six kids, and I could feel a stomachache or a migraine coming on. The stress was so uncomfortable for me because I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be good at sports, and it just wasn't my thing. And so children have this whole story really helps reinforce that message about acceptance, unconditional acceptance, and respect. And appreciating the uniqueness not only within ourselves but with other individuals, in this case, other dogs and friendship,
yes,
of course.
Exactly. It is our differences that make us who we are, and it's our differences that make us the special person that we are.
Yeah.
And in this case,
absolutely,
special animal that Max was.
And the story, what I love about this story, Diane, is that it's a story that kids will be able to relate to. It's a story that will create conversation over the dinner table or in the car on the way home from soccer class because it's so relatable for children. And what I've learned from our children's books and speaking, and I bet you've seen this too, is that when there's a dog involved or any animal involved in the story, it seems to lock in the learning in a different way than when we talk about these lessons with just people, no animals included. Are you finding that?
I am, and that was a big motivation behind the book and ultimately the series that we plan to do. With all the animals that I've had, my vet, who's known me since I was 17, said I've never had a normal one, but they do exist. They all have had special needs or special behavioral issues or special health issues that had to be dealt with. And because I've always viewed these animals as my children, I've seen the parallels between their life living as a family together and what traditional human families experience. And I realized, you know, when someone's trying to teach me something, if I feel that it's being directed at me, I don't listen as closely as I do when I feel separated from it. And my hope and intent was that children connect so well with animals that they would become involved in the story, but then they would see themselves in it much more clearly than if we made it about children and tried to point the finger like, this is you, are you getting this?
Yes, exactly. Well, and I think it's a beautiful way to bring forth these critical character development skills and lessons for children. Now, one of the other questions I had about which was on your website, you actually have on your website where you talk about angels for animals. People can join the team of angels for animals. Tell us a little bit about that.
That is a way that individuals or companies can join us as sponsors to help us get out there and share this message. We've had people come to us at events that we're at that rather than donating for the rescue, they want to donate to what we're doing to be sure that we can keep getting out there and doing what we're doing. And we never expected that at all. But we're realizing that, you know, people care about animals as much as we do, and they just want to be a part of helping in some way. And so it is kind of a sponsorship that people have the opportunity to do. Some businesses sponsored some books that we donated to a classroom full of students so that when we read, it was a Title I school, and when we read to the Title I students and shared this beautiful story and this beautiful picture book, we didn't take it away knowing these children cannot have this in their home. They could enjoy the one copy in their school library, but they can't take it home with them. So through our Angels for Animals, we were able to gift books to every student at that class that day. So that's kind of how that program works. It helps us get out there and do what we're doing, or helps us get books into the hands of the kids that can most benefit from it.
Perfect, perfect. I love that. Now, where can people buy the book, Diane?
Currently, because of the way that we are marketing the book in the direct methods, you know, through events and directly through the website, also some rescue groups have used it as a fundraiser. Because of that, it currently is only available through our website, but we do have a great inventory readily available, and we ship them out immediately. The nice thing about that is when you order the book through the website, you can also put a note in there to request a personalization, and Michael and I will both sign the book and can personalize it to a special child or to yourself if you're an adult who just likes animals. I have a great
I love that.
Children's books.
Well, it's so special when you get a book that's signed and it has that personal note in it. So that is beautiful. And the website, folks, that you can order the book from is muttmission.com. And they actually have ways to buy an individual book, but also if you want to buy it in a bulk of 5 or a bundle of 10. So there's many options for you there. And, of course, you can buy them at the different events. And if you happen to live where Diane lives, in Alabama, there are a ton of stores that are carrying your book as well, from hair salons to gift stores to toy stores, hospital gift shops, art galleries, to name a few.
We have been just very honored that every place we have gone into and asked them if they would be interested in carrying the book, they take one look at it and say, absolutely.
Aww.
And fortunately, those books have been selling very well for them, so they continue wanting to have them.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I mean, what's not to love? Just for all of you listening, if you're not at the computer, I can't even describe for you the beautiful cover. Magnificent, the polka dot Pyrenees. There's just this big, happy dog smiling back at you, just full of love. That's what I get when I look at the cover.
We were very, very blessed and fortunate to be able to work with the very talented Gerald Kelly as our illustrator. When we had the concept for this book, and we self-published it, but we did not want it to look like it was self-published. We didn't want anyone glancing at it to think that it hadn't come from the biggest publishing house in the U.S.
Right.
So I had kind of had high goals there for a first book, and I knew I wanted it to look very Disney-esque, very child-friendly and somehow familiar.
Uh-huh.
And I went searching on the internet and discovered Gerald and contacted his agent. Thought they would laugh at me, but they did not. And we were just feel very, very fortunate that we were able to work with him. And the cover photo is actually was inspired by a photo that's in the book. After the story concludes, we have a letter to the readers talking about the animals being real and from strays and rescues. And three photographs of Max are there. And one of them is from the very first morning that I brought him home, and I was standing on a little step on a deck, and he was about three steps below me and started walking towards me. So he's looking straight up into the camera at this funny little angle.
Aww.
And I sent it to Gerald because it showed his teeth, and I loved his teeth. And when Gerald came back with a cover idea, he didn't have the teeth shown in there, but he had that wonderful face looking up, and he said, there was just something about this that drew me in. And I went, oh, me too.
Me three. Oh, boy. Well, Diane, it has just been a pleasure to have you on Positive Radio today. I'm really excited about your book. This is a book that will make a difference. And, in fact, on the website, I love what you've got. These Mutts Are on a Mission, an all-animal book created to help save more animals. I love the mission you're on. Thank you for being on the show and for all that you're doing to make our world a better place for animals and humans.
Thank you, Charmaine. And I know the same can be said of you. I have great respect for the work that you're doing and that you and Toby did when he was with you.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Well, we now have a new little one in our life, and his name is right now Camo, but we're going to be changing his name, I think. So that'll be my first training task is learning how to teach a puppy a new name. But boy, oh boy, he is love on four legs. That's all I can say about this little guy. He is just love on four legs. He's wonderful. So we're on a new mission now.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for having me with you today.
Thank you, Diane. We have been talking to Diane Birch, the author of a wonderful, delightful book for children and adults, I think, and adults as well. And the book is called Maxnificent, The Polka Dot Pyrenees. The book can be bought from MuttMission.com. And actually, if you go onto that website, MuttMission.com, you'll be able to learn about the book, the author behind the book, the illustrations, and there's some beautiful, beautiful photographs and artwork on the website. So please make sure you stop by. And I want to thank you all for listening to Positive Radio. We're here every week with amazing guests talking about something to do with the animal world. Remember to stop by our Facebook page, which is The Original Team Toby on Facebook. And we'd love to stay in touch with you there. Until next time, we'll see you back here next week on Positive Radio with Charmaine.